Morning. Have a seat. It's good to see you this morning. We are in a series called Cadence, and this series is one of those things that I think resonates with everybody. It's one of those things that I think we don't think about often enough, and it's one of those things that I wish that we were somehow forced to think about it more. Cadence for us, and it's very similar in Webster's, but we kind of changed it up a little bit, is a recurring rhythmic response. We have responses in everything that we do, constantly, over and over. We are responding to everything around us, but especially to God. We're responding to God. Well, I don't know about you, but there come times in life when we find ourselves kind of taking a break from things, or maybe even kind of getting out of step with things. I don't know if you're like this, but summertime kind of does this to us, I know. We endure the summertime, and then all of a sudden, it's the fall, the school time has hit, and everything around us is changing. New schedules are happening. And with those schedules come all of these changes that we have to kind of follow along with. And it interrupts what's going on with us a little bit. And in those interruptions, we are still responding, but our cadence maybe has changed a little bit. And today we're going to talk about our cadence and the rhythm of our cadence in times of need. We've been talking about our brother David. This has been a study on the book of Psalms. And there's 150 of these things, and I didn't tell you this before, but this is, of course, week three, and there's 150 of these things, so we've got several weeks to go. Just kidding. I would love to do that sometime. It'd be incredibly cool. I don't know how long you'd stay with me, but we'd give it a shot. But the Psalms are so incredibly cool, and I think for so many of us as Christians, even I, as I grew up in church, it's one of those books that you were told, man, it's great, and you know, it's like songs and all stuff. The truth is, it's not like songs. They are songs, and they were written to be sung, and the song that we're looking at today happens to be a song that was written by David. We've been talking about David the last couple of weeks. In fact, we even nailed to the wall last week that David could have very well been a member of the A-team, because he was running from all the people that you need to run from when you have been accused of crimes that you did not commit. And so, you know, I grew up in church. I have all of these visions of what, you know, people in the Bible always look like, and they're always dressed the same on Saturday Night Live. You know, and it's like the felt board Jesus, and, you know, I'm sure David was probably, you know, would be depicted in a robe, and I'm just seeing David rolling down the road in a black van with Mr. T. And there's just something about that that makes me happy. I just love the A-team. I just can't help it. So, we see David on the run for things he did not do. And he is being hunted like a wild animal. People that know him, some of his best friends, his own son, are hunting him down, trying to kill him because they were jealous. You see, God had appointed David the king, made him the man, said, David, you are going to lead and guide, and you are going to protect our country. And David is hanging out one day and all of a sudden finds himself on the run just to save his life. And in the midst of that, we talked about last week the vengeance that was coming out of his heart toward that sin, toward these people that were after him because they were wishing evil upon something that God wished good. And so, David's on the run. And I don't know about you, but I have been on the run before. We have all probably been on the run at some point in time. And that on the run statement can go a lot of different ways, but I think for most of us, it's when stuff happens in life that we didn't plan on, bad stuff, stuff that brings us down. And we're left kind of holding the bag going, okay, God, I'm not sure why I'm going through this right now, but at any given point in time, you can go ahead and just kind of release me from this or deliver me from this. And in this song that we see today, David is crying out, "Thank you, God, for delivering me." This particular song happens to also be almost an exact duplication of something that David had written before. We see in 2 Samuel chapter 22, this passage of scripture almost ditto like it is right here in the book of Psalms. And it says in that book that David wrote this song to sing it, to praise God, because God had delivered him from his enemies. The A-team were set free, if you will. Well, this particular psalm today is Psalm 18. And I would really love to share this with you this morning. In Psalm 18, we're going to read verses 1 through 6. And I want you to hear David's heart. And even before we hit this, I just want to kind of preface this. I want to just remind you that we're talking about a guy that's a trained warrior. A guy that at any given point could have access to weapons and armies and all this stuff. And I'm just thinking about all of the men in my family, most of the my extended family on the royalty side happened to be military. And all of these guys, I see something in all of their lives, and that is something that they have a regimen. They are used to discipline and structure, and there are ways to handle things. And I'm just thinking, David, here on the run, knew how to handle things, but he let God deal with it. And I just think, you know, how easy would it have been for him to have just wanted to automatically react like most of us would react, and that is for us to just take control. But David doesn't do that. And his not doing that, God works, and then we have this as God has delivered him from his enemies. It says in Psalm 18, verse 1, "I love you, Lord. O God, my strength. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my deliverer. My God is my rock, in whom I take refuge. He is my shield and my horn, and of my salvation, my stronghold. I call to the Lord who is worthy of praise, and I am saved from my enemies. The cords of death entangled me. The torrents of destruction overwhelmed me. The cords of the grave coiled around me. The snares of death confronted me. In my distress, I called to the Lord. I called to my God for help. From his temple, he heard my voice. My cry came before him into his ears." I want to just take just a second. I want to do something. Don't always just do this, but I just want to pray for just a second right here as we just kind of finish this off, and we're going to be looking at this in the next couple of minutes. But I know that there's probably some of you sitting here today, and you're right smack dab in the middle of something that you don't know what to do with. Or maybe somebody in your family is or whatever, and you need to be an intercessor for them and be praying for them and lifting them up before God. But I want to pray for you right now. So let me do that. Let me just pray for us right now. God, I pray, Lord, for anyone that is sitting here right now, God, that doesn't see light at the end of the tunnel. God, I pray that you would lift them up and that you would give them a peace about who you are and what you want to do in their life. God, I know that there are people here right now, God, that are just trying to figure out, why in the world is this happening to me? God, I pray, Lord, that you would just work in their life. God, I pray, Lord, that this morning as we study your scripture, God, that they would see that you are a God of deliverance. But God, on our end, we have to trust you. And we have to believe that you are going to take control and that you're going to do your thing. God, I just pray, Lord, that your word would be strong today in helping us to see that and to understand that. We love you, Lord, and we thank you so much for allowing us to get to study it and to spend time with you in it. In your name I pray. Amen. This passage of Scripture is a passage of Scripture that resonates from someone with a military background. We see in this passage of Scripture not just a man that is excited about getting freed, not just a man that's excited about the fact that he doesn't have to run from the military police, but a guy that starts equating God with earthly things that he understands. Verse 1, it says, I love you, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock. Now, I really want you to pay close attention to this. In verse 2, the Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my deliverer. My God is my rock, in whom I take refuge. He is my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. Now, I want you to get this full on, because here we're talking about a king in charge of a military, knows military junk like the back of his hand, has fought battles, won wars, I mean, beat just about everybody that you can think of. If you want to just go back and track through David's history and Scripture, and you just see this man, I mean, just winning, winning, winning. God has his hand on him. And at some point in here, God has brought him into this situation. He has trusted in God to deliver him once again, and God has been faithful, and David is so grateful. And he is praising God. God, you are my God. You are my fortress. You are my rock. You are my shield. You are my horn. And he's using military language. He is using words that to him describe the ultimate protection. He's saying, God, you're all it in one. You are God. And David understood something that I think so many of us can learn from. And that's that sometimes just because we are capable of something doesn't mean that we're supposed to do it. Just because we think we could take care of something doesn't mean that we're supposed to do it. Sometimes we're supposed to step back. Sometimes we're supposed to trust in God. And obviously, it's a walking with the Lord kind of thing to know in those times exactly what we're supposed to do. But it's obvious to me that David understood that at this time in his life, he was supposed to take a step back and he was supposed to let God handle the situation. It wasn't up to him to take vengeance on his enemies, just like we talked about last week. It was up to God, and he left it in God's hands, and God delivered him. And on the flip side of when God did that, David identified God as being, verse 2, the Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my deliverer. My God is my rock in whom I take refuge. He is my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. And I hear these words and I'm thinking about, what does something like a fortress look like to David? What does something like a shield do for a guy like David? He is my horn. At first, studying through this, I was just kind of asking God, I was like, what are you talking about? What is David writing about here when he's saying that you are my horn? What is that? I mean, I'm all about a band, you know, but I just don't know that that's going to be that powerful. And we do see God use some horns in Scripture to just knock down some walls. But, you know, I'm just thinking here, and the more I study, the more I realize it's talking about like the horns of an animal. The thing that goes before us to tear down the things that are against us. David is identifying God as the ultimate protector. And most importantly, the ultimate deliverer. Some of us here today make a big mistake. And that mistake is we try to deliver ourselves. And I'll tell you, this goes without saying almost, but You know, I see this all the time, and in conversations that I get into with someone that doesn't know Christ, someone that's lost. And I'll say, hey, do you know Christ as your Savior? Are you a Christian? And they'll say, well, you know, I don't necessarily believe all that. And I'll go, okay, well, what do you believe? Because I always like for them to get to share with me. It's not one way. And so they begin sharing, and a lot of times the response is, well, you know, I believe in the afterlife. I believe that, you know, we'll live beyond death. But I believe that all I got to do is to be good. And of course, my response is always, can you tell me how good is good enough? Because I'd like to know where that line's at if you get it figured out. And we begin to converse back and forth and talk, and it's so obvious that so many of us in this world think that it is up to us to save ourselves. And we do it not just with our salvation, but we do it in everyday situations. And even we as Christians are so guilty at times of just seeing a situation and going, you know what, God, I'm in control. I got this one taken care of. I'm a warrior. This is battle, and I'm going to do battle with these guys, and I'm going to take them down. Call Hal and Mad Murdock. It's an A-team joke, okay? David understood that he couldn't deliver himself. And so many of us, as soon as something happens in life, what do? We automatically go right over here to, oh, here's my bookcase of talents. Here's my shelf of connections. Man, am I connected? Do I know some great people right here on this shelf? I'm going to start pulling my connections. We're going to get this taken care of. God wants us to trust in Him. And when we do that, He will deliver us. But there is a warning, and here it is. Sometimes God is not going to deliver us just like that. Sometimes God wants us to go through things that may be uncomfortable for us, but may be a part of the molding and shaping of who we are going to be. And in those times, God has not abandoned us, and we need to realize that God wants to be our support. And we need that. I need that because God, as my strength, is way stronger than Chris at any given point with any amount of strength that he could ever have. Started working in the gym this week. And let me just tell you what I'm feeling it. And you know what that's like. And I just got to tell you, you're never going to see me up here looking like a bodybuilder. That's just not my thing. But I do want to be somewhat healthy with my life and not die when I'm 45 from eating Mexican every day and not paying attention to my own self. And at no given point could any one of us, with our human bodies, do enough to ever gain the strength that God has and can do through us. And David knew that. He knew that with all the weapons and all of his armies and all of his connections and all of his talents, he knew that God was his only deliverer. I mean, we see him go on in this passage of Scripture, and he begins just throwing down stuff that he faced. Verse 3, it says, I call to the Lord who is worthy of praise, and I am saved from my enemies. Thanking God for what God had done. And then in verse 4, it begins talking about some of this stuff of just what went down. It says, the cords of death entangled me. The torrents of destruction overwhelmed me. Let's just preface this again and just remind you again, hey, we're not talking about somebody that flips hamburgers every day here. We're talking about a guy that's a warrior. And he's saying, hey, just so you know, I had to face death, and I was scared to death, and I didn't know how this was going to turn out, but I trusted in God, and I knew that God would deliver me. And sure enough, he did. And in verse 5, he goes on and says, the cords of the grave coiled around me. He thought, I'm probably going to die. There were moments in this that he thought, I'm probably going to die. And I know that we have moments in our life when we think, you know what? What is happening right now is the end of my life. I've lost my job. This person has left me. Everything is crashing down around me. And we're hearing from the warrior. I thought I was going to die. The snares of death confronted me. And then we see him say in verse 6, a passage of scripture that is so glorious to hear. For any of us that have ever been in those moments when we have felt alone, when we have gotten mixed up and thought for a moment in time there that God has abandoned us, and by the way, God does not abandon us, we abandon him. And no, he doesn't always deliver, but he always supports and he always protects. And in this passage of scripture in verse 6, we see one of those passages of scripture that is just so good to know. And it's so good to read it. And it says, in my distress, I called to the Lord. I cried to my God for help. From his temple, from where he's at, hanging out up on high, he heard my voice. My cry came before him into his ears. David knew that God would hear him. And I'm afraid that for so many of us, we do this sometimes, and it's just a motion thing. It's just a what you do on Sunday morning thing. Or maybe even we open this and we just read it because it's just what I was told to do. And we forget that our God is real. For moments in time, we forget that he wants to speak to us and he wants to hear from us and that he wants us to cry out to him. That's our God. Our God is the God that delivers every single time. And in those moments of despair, and in those moments when we feel like there's no way out, and we're in David's shoes, in my distress, I called to the Lord. I cried to my God for help. From his temple, he heard my voice. My cry came before him into his ears. Is music to our ears. You know, our life is much like a song. It's much like a song that has a tempo of its own. It has a rhythm, if you will, a cadence. And the cadence in our life is this rhythm, and it's recurring, it's over and over, and it's a response every time. And sometimes the responses are different, just as like we've been studying through these passages of Scripture the last few weeks. I've purposefully tried not to just study passages of Scripture that are just, oh, everything's going to be okay. Much like we talked about last week, sometimes it's rough. But let me ask you this question, and I hope you don't mind me asking you this, but I'm going to ask you this. How many times do we only call out to God when we're in the rough? How much do you seek God when things are great? How much do you give him praise for the great things that happen in your life? How much do you give him praise during the bad times in life? And that's when it gets tough. That's when it gets tough. But truth be known, the cadence of David's life was that he knew without a doubt that God would deliver him. and in that cadence, knowing that God would deliver him, he put all of his trust in him, and he didn't bother trying to go and just take care of everything on his own. No, no. He understood that true deliverance, and you're going to love this if you get it, if you'll fathom what I'm about to say, you are going to love it, and it's going to free you where you're at. And that is that true deliverance is found in praising God, because we were created to glorify him. And that's a big statement. But I'm just telling you what, if you can ever wrap your arms around that and understand that and your life begin to mirror that, wow, what a ride. It is unlike anything else to know that your life exists for the glory of God. And to do what you were created to do, to be right there in that, is an amazing thing. David understood that his life was meant to praise God, and he understood that true deliverance, even in a time when life just stunk, he understood that praising God would deliver him from the very things, even for just a moment in some time, would deliver him from the things that he had to deal with. See, our life is a song. Your life is a song. You didn't know it, but it is. And all throughout the song of your life, if you were to write it out, what would it look like? Would the rhythm of your life, would the cadence, the recurring rhythmic response of your life, would it resonate with God's? Does your life resonate with God? Does it resonate with the fact that Christ has come into your heart and saved you? And maybe you're here today, maybe you say, Chris, I've never done that. I want to talk to you after this service today. I would love to just get to pray with you, answer any questions you've got, and just talk through that. But our life is a song. And it's constantly being sung to God. And as our life being a song is constantly being sung to God, we've got to know that there is always a rhythm. And the key for us as Christians to be fulfilled and feel free, number one, is to live a life of praise. Live a life that glorifies God, that matches up with His heart. And along with doing that, knowing that the beat never stops. The beat of a song never ever stops. Even if the drums stop playing, there is still a rhythm. What is the rhythm of your life? What is the rhythm of who you are? Does your heart beat with the heart of God? Because I'm going to tell you, the beat never stops.